I had given you earlier a sentence from the Rig Veda. I shall repeat it. Nanunam asti noshvaha. It is not today, nor is it tomorrow. Kastad veda yad adbhutam. Who knows it which is wonderful? That which comes now or that which is tomorrow is not the wonderful one. That which is not now, that which is not tomorrow, that which is, it is that which is wonderful. This is the Vedic statement which Parmenides has put in his intellectual terms. It's the same proposition. That which is wonderful, when you think and when you admire all the time in thinking, in contemplation, which you cannot escape, that is God. That's why Sri Aurobindo says, it is also the highest which thought can envisage. Although in the previous sentence he says, it seems. Historically, this is the highest, but there it may see, it seems it is the highest. Historically, but philosophically, it is the highest. This book is basically a philosophical book. Therefore, you have now here a definition of philosophy. Philosophy is the implication of the nature of thought. All philosophical thought is an implication of the nature of thought. What is thought? If you think about what is thought, then from thought itself, the statement that will come out is philosophy. The implication of the nature of thought is philosophy. And the only implication of thought is God. Therefore, I call it the first and the last lesson of philosophy. It's a very short study. Philosophy is a very short study. It's only one line. The highest that thought can envisage is God. Full stop. First lesson and the last lesson. Philosophy is over. This is all that philosophy is ultimately to tell us. After all that ocean. And this is the very first sentence that Sri Aurobindo writes in The Life Divine. The earliest preoccupation of the man in his awakened thought, and as it seems, then he gives a reason why it seems. After giving that, he says, is also that the thought, the highest that the thought can envisage. So where it is historical statement, Sri Aurobindo puts the word seems. But where it is absolutely certain in the terms of thought, he puts the word is. Right? This is the accuracy of Sri Aurobindo. Absolute, perfect. Alright, we shall now study second paragraph tomorrow. Alright.
The occidental philosophy is denying the existence of God.
Quite. So, present one.
Yes, the present.
The present. This is a present mood. Is a present mood. Is a skepticism. The present state of mankind in the West, particularly, is skeptical. Which Sri Aurobindo says, we are passing through a period of skepticism. But skepticism can survive only when you don't think sufficiently. It's very important. You can be skeptical only so long as you do not take the trouble to think up to the end. As Sri Aurobindo says, skepticism claims to inquire but refuses to inquire. There's a special self-contradiction of skepticism. It claims to inquire but at a certain stage it refuses to inquire. Then only skepticism can survive, otherwise it can't survive. skepticism is not a resting place. Nobody can ultimately rest in skepticism. That is certain. It is a philosophical tell you, it is certain that nobody can rest in skepticism. It can be a station on your way of journey. For a certain time you can play and amuse yourself with skepticism. But when you come to the crunch, both psychologically and logically, you are obliged to arrive at God. There is no other resting place. You can do whatever you like. You can doubt it. Doesn't matter. It is amusement. Go on doubting. Certainly you can doubt in many hundred ways. But your thought, really, when you examine thought, it will only say one thing, God, and that is all. At the highest, after doing everything that you want to do, you can somersault on the same point if you want, or on other points if you want. But ultimately you come to this conclusion. And that should have been the states in the very first sentence. If you want to play skepticism, we shall find 3-4 sessions if you like. And I shall run with you in all skeptical propositions we can make. In my life I have spent 5 years in skepticism myself. Constantly playing with skepticism. And then this statement is the one which remains after all that. So I can certainly say that all skepticism is an amusement. You can play with everybody. You can say, I am very rationalistic, I am agnostic, I accept only what can be seen, what can be experienced, I don't accept anything else. Fine, wonderful. Please keep up the whole inquiry, I will say. Don't refuse inquiry at the end. The difficulty arises when the skeptic at a given time gives up and says, I don't want to inquire now. It may be, I don't want. How do you know? And that is the end of his matter. He does not inquire. He says, you told that, you prove to me. You can see the argument of the skeptic ultimately is, you prove to me. He doesn't want to make inquiry. You tell him, now you make inquiry, go to the end. You make inquiry, go to the end. No. You prove to me. Until that time, I have nothing to do. When you come with your proof, I'll see whether you are right or not. This is His Majesty. So you can play the game of skepticism for 10 years, 15 years, and sit in your chair, sitting. Now you come with the proof, like a judge. You come with the proof. Onus of proof is on you. But ultimately you should say, look, my dear friend, do you want to inquire yourself? Do you want to take the trouble? Are you really keen on knowledge? Then say, you come to me, that's all, that is his answer. If he really takes in his hand and says, yes, I want to inquire, then he will come to this conclusion. All right.